Yeah, my name's Simon, I'm an addict. Simon. Oh, yeah, it's good to be sitting up here. You know, I've had 8 weeks of being told I was going to do this chair and, you know, it was, oh, my head's been going round and round. You know, I was sitting over there about 8 weeks ago and Jay came up to me after the first chair and he goes, would you do a chair? I said, yeah, yeah, if I was asked, I'd do a chair. And he goes, well, I'm asking you. I thought, oh, shit, how can I get out of this one? But no, it's really good, you know, because for me, this is a meeting where it's about recovery. You know, it's, yeah, recovery, which is what I'm here for. You know, I'm here to try and get recovery. You know, yeah, I'm just over 2.5 years clean. And when I look at where I was 2.5 years ago to where I am today, it just blows me away. Because I mentioned my clean time because I didn't come into recovery for the right reasons. I came in for a flat. Because I thought that's what my problem was. I thought if I had a roof over my head, then everything will be all right. I thought, yeah, I'll have a flat. You know, because I was living on the streets of St Albans, living in a tent, begging for money, you know, doing what I could to get money up. And I thought, as long as I get a roof over my head, I'll be all right. But, you know, I'd end up in a detox, in rehab. And it was really when I was in rehab that it dawned on me that, you know, I have got to change my behaviours. I really had to change my behaviours because how I used to deal with things towards the end of my using was if I was hurting on the inside or I wasn't the centre of attention, I'd self-harm. I'd get a razor, cut myself, so people would come up to me and say, you know, what are you doing that for? What's the matter with you? And, you know, when I was in early recovery, you know, I nearly did that as well. You know, I was in a treatment centre, hadn't seen my family for 8.5 years, through the shame and guilt of using. And I got in touch with them when I was in a detox. And then they came up to see me when I was in rehab. And I think I was something like about 5 or 6 weeks clean. And I said to me dad, me nan, and my stepmom came up. And they wanted to know, you know, what I was doing in a rehab. And I said, that's the easiest way to get house nowadays. And, you know, because I seriously didn't think I had a problem at all. You know, and, you know, when I was talking to my dad, he was asking me what I was doing and all that. I said, I haven't had a drink or taken any drugs for 6 weeks. And he goes, oh. And I thought, well done, you're doing fucking fantastic, son. I'm proud of you. But, you know, he asked me what I was doing. I was talking about the rehab. Then I said, oh, we go to meetings. I said, at the meetings, I explained to him what happened at the meetings. Somebody sits up, shares their experience, strength and hope. And my dad's reaction was, that's typically you. Ever since you were a kid, you've always got in with the wrong people. And, you know, yeah, I laugh about that now, but at the time, that really hurt me. Because I'm really proud of you, son. You know, I'm really proud of my son being in rehab. You know, that's what I wanted. I wanted my dad to be proud of me. And, you know, I went back to the treatment centre to self-harm. Because I was hurting on the inside. And I couldn't talk to people then. And, you know, I went back to the treatment centre, just ran upstairs to my room, grabbed a razor and threw it on the floor to stamp on it to get the blade out to cut myself. And, you know, for me it was my first spiritual awakening that the razor fell on a where to find. And for me, instead of stamping on it, on the razor and cutting myself, I picked up the where to find, found a meeting and went to a meeting. And I spoke to somebody who'd been around for a few years at that meeting and told him what was going on in my head. You know, because I didn't want to share it, because everyone's going to think that I was like psychotic and, you know, no one would be able to identify with me. But the person who'd been around for double figures, he just said to me, don't worry, mate. He goes, you know, it'll pass. Them feelings pass. And that's what I've learned. No matter what I go through in life, you know, it will pass. You know, the good times as well as the bad times. You know, it's called life on life's terms, which, you know, I'm able to deal with today with the help of the 12 steps. You know, I've had 2 sponsors in recovery, and my first sponsor I got basically because we got told in rehab we had to get a sponsor. You know, so I just saw somebody who had 14 years and I thought, yeah, that'll do me. And then as soon as I left rehab, the first Friday night, he said, right, we'll go back to your place. So I was in a third stage and he goes, you know, I'll get you on step one. So, you know, he came back to my place and I got my little folder that I'd done in rehab and my first 3 steps. And he goes, right, step one. I went, there you go. He goes, what about step two? Went, oh, yeah, I've got that one as well. Step three, yeah, that one. And then he goes, well, step four, he goes, you know, I like people to do a life story. Just so happens I've got one of them upstairs. So I went upstairs and, you know, it was, you know, like I say, that first night, you know, I was saying to myself, well, I'm on step six now. You know, I've done the first five steps in a couple of hours. That's, you know, this is quite easy, this is. But then, you know, about 18 months into my recovery, or just over 18 months, I started feeling that, you know, something wasn't quite right. Something wasn't quite right. You know, I was still, you know, I was hearing all these people who were coming in after me and were saying about how wonderful life is. I was thinking, life's shit, everyone's fucking got it in for me. Because I'd never worked through the steps properly. You know, I used to meet my sponsor on a Friday night for 10 minutes at a meeting, have a quick chat with him. Yeah, everything's fantastic. Yeah, I'll see you next week. And, you know, I phoned him twice. I had him for over a year, and I phoned him twice. Once was to ask him what day he wanted me to go into a detox to do a chair, and the other day was to get somebody else's phone number off him. You know, we had no relationship at all. No relationship. He didn't know what was going on for me. I knew absolutely nothing about him. And, you know, so it wasn't long before, like I say, I was just in bits. I was totally in bits. And I had to start looking for a new sponsor who, you know, who had a program, who worked the program. And, you know, I found somebody. And, you know, because I always find it difficult asking people for anything. So I just went up to him and goes, you know, your home group? I said, so many people there looking for sponsees, is there? And, you know, he said, well, he goes, I can take you on if you want. You know, and he gave me suggestions. He goes, what do I want to do these for? Told me to read literature and stuff like that, and it was, oh, you know, I'd never read literature. Well, you know, the only time I'd read it was when I was at meetings. That's the only time I'd read literature. And, you know, start doing a gratitude list, praying. Oh, I ain't doing that. You know, I don't do things like that. I don't need to do that. But I found out, you know, I do need to do it. And I've been doing it a lot today, by the way. And, you know, by working with this new sponsor, you know, phoning him every day for 30 days, you know, I didn't really want to do that. But, you know, I was at a meeting and I got asked to share, and I even shared, you know, my sponsor was there, and I said, yeah, my sponsor's got me to phone him every day for 30 days. I don't even know why he's asked me to do that. And then, like, he shared back to me, and he was saying, oh yeah, I'll get my sponsees to phone me every day for 30 days, because if on 35 days they fancy picking up, you know, they've got no contact with me, they don't know what I'm like, they can speak to me. And, you know, I still phone my sponsor nearly every day now. You know, like I say, I'm just over 2.5 years, and I still phone my sponsor nearly every day. You know, we've got a good relationship. You know, he's took me through the steps. And, you know, I've got a sponsee today who, you know, I'm going to be taking him through the steps as well. And for somebody to ask me to take him through the steps, it was just blew me away, thinking, already? No, I'm getting into this now. Yeah, for somebody to ask me to help them through the steps is just really blowing me away. You know, I've been, you know, I've done, like I say, I've gone through the steps, me step nine's ongoing, and I made amends to my dad and my stepmum and my nan, you know, a little while ago. And I was thinking, they're not going to take this, you know, they're not going to understand where I'm coming from. But I just said to them, you know, I didn't say sorry, because I said that all through my using. You know, I just said to them, I said, you know, if there's anything I can do to try and rectify my behaviour and how I've hurt you in the past, just let me know. And my dad just said to me, he goes, just keep doing what you're doing. He goes, I'm proud of you. And, oh shit, I'm getting emotional, shit. But, you know, that's what I wanted in the early days, was my family to be proud of me. Now they are proud of me. You know, I don't want them to be proud of me. You know, I'm just trying to live, like, for me, it's a normal life. A normal life for me is going to meetings, reading literature, working with a sponsor, working with sponsees. You know, I've managed to get a job in recovery. You know, I've got the flat that is all I needed to keep me clean. But, you know, since I've had the flat, I've realised that that will not keep me clean. Nothing else will keep me clean. I need to come to these meetings. You know, do service at meetings. You know, I do the helpline service as well. You know, I do it from home because I'm working. I do it 10 at night till 7 in the morning, which sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning when I have people phoning up saying I'm having a using dream is a bit annoying. But at the end of the day, I can identify with, you know, what they're going through, you know, and it's being able to help people. You know, that's what I love about this fellowship, is we're all here to help each other out. You know, I ended up on interferon through my using, and, you know, I've gone through the treatment, and I got the all clear last week. And, you know, for me, when I started it, I was in bits, and I didn't want to talk about it in meetings, because I was thinking, no, everyone's going to think I'm just whinging. But, you know, people said to me, you know, if you need to share it, share it. You know, I go for coffee and I was talking about it then, and I was getting phone numbers of people who I could talk to, you know, and that really helped me through my recovery. You know, I've got a lot of friends today. You know, I look around this room, I think that's why I don't feel so nervous, because I look around this room, there's absolutely loads of people I know. And, you know, if you're new around, all I can say is keep coming back. This is a fantastic program. You know, it's kept me clean for over 2.5 years, and, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, I'm going to leave it there, but yeah, just keep coming back. It's fantastic. Thanks.